KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 51 degrees in Atlantic. We look for periods of showers and possibly thunderstorms this afternoon, a high around 53. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Well, it's cloudy in Atlantic for now, but there's a wide band of showers and sprinkles that are approaching from the west-southwest this morning. The line stretches from just west of Griswold, diagonally up towards Avoca, and then towards the all the way back into Nebraska. And this most of the heavier showers are still currently in southeast Nebraska, just to the west of Bellevue and around Papillion and around the Lincoln area on Interstate 80 in that portion of the region. Again, these are making their way to the east-northeast this morning. In the news, the Atlantic School District's Board of Education will hold a work session this evening at the high school, during which they will accept petitions calling for a bond referendum. As we mentioned during a report last week, Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein said the school administrators were circulating a petition trying to get 400 signatures, which will enable the election to take place on June 25th, and that's with regard to an $11 million bond issue for capital improvement projects within the district. Amstein said the expansion and improvements are needed because of both the current and Department of Education projected increases in enrollment. He said for the past few years, the projected enrollment for kindergarten-aged students has consistently increased. The board will act on a resolution this evening ordering a special election on the issuance of the $11 million in general obligation school bonds. In other business, the Atlantic Board of Education will hear a report from Schuler and Washington Schools Building Leadership Teams, or BLTs, and hear a presentation regarding district finances. The board meeting begins at 7:30 p.m. in the Atlantic High School Media Center. News time is 8:02.
Hey, everybody, did you know it was almost Mother's Day? I love my mommy. How much do you love yours?
With Mother's Day just right around the corner, get your mom what she really wants this year.
Get her a digital camera. Get her an HD video camera. A digital planner. A GPS navigation system. A tablet. Her own personal assistant. And a new phone.
Does this sound like an awful lot to you? Well, let us at the TV Store help. We can get all of this in one device, a smartphone.
The TV Store, your local Verizon authorized wireless retailer, has an amazing lineup of smartphones to fit any need. That's not all. With an upgrade or new activation, some of these phones are free. Just think, now you can save money and still be able to buy your mom flowers.
Come check out all the newest smartphone models today at the TV Store, 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or give us a call at 712-243-3032. Don't wait. Mother's Day is May 12th.
Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Well, most of the education debate in the state capitol this year has been on how to improve teachers and enhance schools in Iowa. Some lawmakers are focused on a very different educational goal, seeking to reduce regulations for homeschooling families. Language added to an education bill passed in the Republican-controlled State House in February would remove oversight for some households that homeschool their children. The issue could complicate negotiations as Republicans try to reach a compromise with the Democratic-controlled Senate on an education overhaul plan. Some Republicans have made it clear that they will not support the overall education policy without those provisions. Democrats are noncommittal on the homeschooling proposals. Democratic Senate President Pam Yoakum of Dubuque said it would receive a lot of discussion in their caucus. A 30-hour standoff that began with an exchange of gunshots has ended in Des Moines. Police say they used a stun gun to gain custody of 53-year-old Michael Reed, who was arrested just after 12:10 a.m. today. Officers had been sent to the home Saturday afternoon to investigate a property dispute. They reported being shot at by an occupant of the home, and they fired back. There were no injuries reported. Sergeant Jason Halifax said negotiators eventually lured Reed into the front porch of the home. Reed is also known as Mickey King. He's an Elvis Presley impersonator. He remains in police custody. A fire has destroyed a cattle barn at the Fayette County Fairgrounds in northeast Iowa. No injuries were reported in connection with Saturday evening's fire. Fair board member Kevin Converse said there were no cattle in the building. Several campers and a tractor had been stored in the building over the winter, however. The building houses cattle competitors during each year's fair. The fire also damaged siding on the dairy building. The cause of that blaze is under investigation. People who live along the Mississippi River in eastern Iowa and western Illinois were preparing for the water to crest on Sunday, but officials expect water levels to remain high for several days. Other rivers in the region are also swollen with rainwater. In Rock Island County, Illinois, a Rock River levee breached near Barstow Saturday. Officials evacuated about 60 residents of a mobile home park. and quickly built an earthen dam to protect the town. Rock Island County Board Chairman Phil Manizek told the Quad City Times that residents were ordered to evacuate within 30 minutes of that levee breach because the water was coming over the levee. National Weather Service meteorologist Andy Irvin said both the Mississippi and Rock Rivers are expected to remain high enough near Davenport to cause significant flooding through this Thursday. Police in Grimes, or in central Iowa anyway, identify the 71-year-old man who was found dead inside of an SUV that plunged into a suburban Des Moines pond. Witnesses saw the vehicle leave the road early Sunday morning and drive into the pond in Grimes. After divers hooked up a tow line to the Ford Explorer in 7 feet of water, police pulled the vehicle out and then found the man's body. The Polk County Sheriff's Office said Eddie Clark of Grimes died in the accident. Investigators are still trying to determine why his vehicle wound up in the pond. One man died and another was hurt when a train hit a pickup truck in the northern Iowa city of Rudd. The Iowa State Patrol said the crash happened Saturday morning when the pickup, driven by 73-year-old Gary Lee Eilers of Waterloo, drove onto the railroad tracks. A Canadian Pacific train hit the pickup and pushed it about a quarter mile down the tracks. A passenger in that vehicle, 32-year-old Brian Allen Leckness of Waterloo, was killed. Eilers was flown to a Mason City hospital, then transferred to a hospital in Rochester, Minnesota, where he was last reported to be in critical condition. An Iowa police officer is recovering after being rear-ended while patrolling Clear Lake, and two men are facing alcohol-related charges. Authorities say Clear Lake Lieutenant Paul Chizik was struck from behind while he was driving on Highway 18 in Clear Lake early Friday. Chizik radioed for help and more officers responded. He was taken to the hospital for treatment of a cut on his head. The driver who struck the police cruiser, 21-year-old Stephen Orta, was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving, following too close, and driving without a valid license. The passenger, 29-year-old Brian Orta, fled but didn't make it far before he was arrested on suspicion of public intoxication. A former Iowa Department of Transportation employee and a man from Sioux City have been arrested and accused of stealing $407,000 from the DOT in a kickback and money laundering scheme. 56-year-old David Weigel of Nevada was a right-of-way agent for the DOT, buying and selling property for highway expansions and highway interchanges. Gerard Myers, the assistant director of the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation, says a whistleblower contacted another DOT employee in May of 2011.
Had it not been for that private citizen bringing it forward, we may not have got on to it. And when that citizen did bring it to light, and we began our investigation well over a year ago, that's some indication of how much we have been working to determine how long it's been going on, to what extent, and you know, there's a number of other parties that we're still exploring.
Meyer said more arrests may be made. Weigel, the former DOT employee, and 59-year-old Grady Marks of Sioux City were arrested Saturday. Meyer said witnesses and financial statements indicate money was paid directly to Weigel for several properties in Tama County.
In one instance, land was sold for $125,000 to a businessman. In this transaction, the buyer was instructed to write one check to the Department of Transportation and another check, $55,000, to David Weigel directly. In another Tama County transaction, David Weigel pocketed $26,000 for a $76,000 purchase.
Another of the alleged kickbacks involved a DOT property sale in Floyd County.
Investigators revealed that Weigel directed the buyers to send $200,000 of the sale price to his co-conspirator, Grady Marks. On a later date, Marks sent David Weigel a check in the amount of $100,000.
Myers said it appears that Weigel also used his position in the DOT to arrange for a Sioux City man to be paid for mowing several Department of Transportation properties.
Subsequent to the various DOT payments, Grady Marks issued checks back to David Weigel totaling 49.9% of the payment Marks' payments from DOT.
Weigel was hired by the DOT in 1995 and resigned in July of 2011, shortly after the theft allegation was first made. Pete Helmstead, a spokesman for the DOT, says the agency has taken steps to ensure that more people sign off on transactions before they're final.
Changes when it comes to regarding the disposal of excess land, when it comes to leasing state-owned property, when it comes to maintaining excess property. We just get a lot more eyes on the process to make sure that nothing like this can ever happen again.
According to Helmstead, Weigel was placed on administrative leave as soon as the whistleblower stepped forward.
So, unfortunately, one individual who misused his authority and it's what's resulted in the investigation and the charges.
Authorities searched four properties Saturday morning, seizing a number of vehicles and other assets in hope of recouping some of the money stolen from taxpayers. Weigel has been charged with first-degree theft, money laundering, ongoing criminal conduct, and felonious misconduct in office. Marks has been charged with first-degree theft, money laundering, and conspiracy to commit a felony. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Massachusetts will hold a moment of silence this afternoon to mark 1 week since two bombs went off at the Boston Marathon, killing three people and wounding more than 180. The 1 minute of silence is at 2:50 p.m. local time, the time of the first explosion, and then bells will ring across the state. A private funeral is scheduled for today for one of the three people killed last Monday in the Boston Marathon bombing attack. Christy Campbell was a 29-year-old restaurant worker, and a memorial service will be held tonight at Boston University for 23-year-old grad student Lou Lingzi. Today is the first working day on which budget-cutting furloughs are in effect for some 47,000 aviation employees of the federal government. Requirement of one day off every other week per employee began yesterday. The FAA says some flights at five airports, including New York's JFK and LaGuardia, were delayed yesterday because of staffing issues. And the lead singer of the Australian rock band The Divinyls has died after a battle with cancer and multiple sclerosis. Carissy Amphlett died yesterday in New York City at the age of 53. Her band had the hit in the early 90s called I Touch Myself, which was a rather humorous song of that. And tent villages have sprung up in China's mountainous Sichuan province 2 days after an earthquake killed at least 188 people. Trucks have rolled in with X-ray equipment, phone charging stations, and ATMs, and there's a tent for insurance claims. One doctor says the Chinese government has learned the importance of fast coordination since a quake in the western region of Yushu killed 2,600 people in 2010. News time is 8:12.
Spring has finally sprung. And we here at the TV Store, your local Dish authorized retailer, have everything you need to enjoy the outdoors and stay in touch with your favorite TV programs at the same time.
Technology can sometimes be hard to keep up with, but we're here to save the day by introducing Hopper with Sling. Hopper with Sling gives you access to your favorite Dish programming, including DVR recordings, anywhere you are via smartphone, tablet, or laptop computer. As long as you have high-speed internet connection at home and an internet connection on your wireless device, you can watch TV right in the palm of your hand, so you'll never have to miss your favorite program or sports team again.
The TV Store, your local Dish authorized retailer, can get you access to all these great features today. Come in and explore the possibilities at the TV Store, 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or give us a call at 712-243-3032.
ETFN, cut off for now.
Dish Internet requires broadband internet. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
In the funeral announcements, Dean Hess, age 66 of Oakland, has died. A funeral services for Dean Hess will be today at 2 o'clock at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson. Teresa Langston, age 73 of Stewart, died Thursday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Memorial services for Teresa Langston will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Leslie Vorm, age 90 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Memorial services for Les Vorm will be held on Wednesday at 11:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Merritt Bauer, age 95 of Bridgewater, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Merritt Bauer are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Steve Kahn, age 65 of Lewis, died today. Funeral services for Steve Kahn are currently pending. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. And William Harbach, age 95 of Templeton, died Sunday at the Sunnybrook Assisted Living Facility in Carroll. Funeral services for William Horbach are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. That is a check of the news brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Henson reporting.